This music is a composition by trumpeter Adam O'Farrell called Iris Murdoch, after the late Irish novelist. The music is being performed by O'Farrell's recently formed quartet, Elephant, featuring Yvonne Rogers on piano, Walter Stinson on bass, Russell Holzman on drums, and O'Farrell on trumpet. That quartet will be in town Tuesday of next week to give a performance at Berlin. I spoke recently with Adam O'Farrell about the new group and some of the musical influences that inform his compositions. Over the past decade and a half, he's earned a reputation as one of the best trumpet players in the modern jazz scene. In fact, his entire family is well-respected in the jazz community. His grandfather was the legendary composer and arranger Chico O'Farrell. His father, Arturo, is a jazz pianist and leads the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. His mother is a classical musician named Allison Dean, and his brother is a renowned percussionist named Zach. For his part, Adam O'Farrell has worked with a wide variety of contemporary modern innovators, including guitarist Mary Halverson, saxophonist Rudresh Mahanthappa, pianist Vijay Iyer, and of course with his father's Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. Our conversation began by my asking Adam what made him decide to pick up the trumpet. He recalled what it was like to grow up listening to all the talented performers in his grandfather's orchestra, like this trumpet player, Pete Nader, who's blowing on Chico O'Farrell's tune, Havana Blues.
I think just hearing it a lot, particularly with my grandfather's big band, which my dad took over when my grandfather passed, you know, hearing a lot of trumpets and being around trumpet players in that big band was definitely both the sound of the instrument and just the trumpet players. To me, they had a lot of swagger. I don't know. I think it's the kind of instrument you have to be really in command of what you're doing just by the nature of the instrument. It's such a beast, you know, and such a grueling process to practice and maintain, and you have to play every day, and you know, so I think trumpet players, there's an assurance that you have to carry inside of that, so I think I was drawn to that.
Turning to the group that you're bringing to Minneapolis in September, they're called Elephant, and I was reading the press release. It referenced the fact that you were a little bit hesitant to lead a quartet and appear as the sole horn player. I was wondering if you could kind of talk about that and talk about how your experience working with Hiromi and Sonic Wonder may have influenced you to go ahead and step forward and take up that challenge.
Yeah, playing with Hiromi was really one of the best things that could happen for me as an artist. And I was really surprised, to be totally honest, just because, you know, we both come from very different musical worlds. I wasn't sure if that would work in that context. I think I was drawn also, when she first reached out to me, I think I was drawn towards doing something that felt pretty far from what I was used to doing. I saw an opportunity in that, and I saw an opportunity to grow within that. You know, I had had decent experiences with it, but yeah, I just felt like, okay, I'm ready to do this. I had just done a large ensemble project before that. With the albums I make, I kind of like to go back and forth between something where I am kind of playing a lot and something where maybe I have a smaller part, you know, just to kind of feel those different perspectives. So that was part of it as well, coming out of this octet project for these streets. Yeah, and also, I guess, like any band, just finding the right people. People that I've been playing with for a long time, like somebody like Walter Stinson, the bass player, play with somebody that I've known for a long time but hadn't played with in a while. Somebody like the drummer, Russell Holzman, and then play with somebody that I hadn't played with before, who was Yvonne Rogers, the pianist.
Can you talk about some of the music that might have inspired you? I was reading that there were certain artists that like wrote musical scores for movies, like Johnny Greenwood or Ryuichi Sakamoto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely those two. I mean, Ryuichi continues to inspire me just because if you go through the discography, he did so much, and he traveled so much as an artist. Like, he really put himself in so many different types of settings and ways of thinking and ways of performing. And I think that's always going to be one of the biggest models for me. Somewhere in that regard would be somebody like Miles Davis as well. Both of these artists, I think, are people who didn't see any limits in terms of how they could express themselves. And I feel very, very, very inspired by that. Somebody like Ryuichi or somebody like Johnny Greenwood, you know, those people, they've worked in film a lot. Film and, I guess, film music were definitely both important influences for his music.
I'm Peter Solomon, speaking today with trumpeter Adam O'Farrell. He'll be appearing with his quartet Elephant at Berlin on Tuesday. Recently, he released a new album featuring the ensemble. In fact, it's also called Elephant, and it opens with this composition, Curves and Convolutions.
I was reading Swan's Way by Marcel Proust. There's a moment in the book, I'll be completely honest, the book, like, I would have to read it again because it was just very winding and very drawn out over mundane settings and circumstances, and it's oddly a lot to keep track of. But there was one moment in the book where these words came up, curves and convolutions. And to me, that really encapsulated that book and what it feels like, what the words feel like, what the actions and moments in the book feel like, and what the character development and relations feel like. And I would say also musically, I was thinking a lot about the Brazilian composer, Hermeto Pascoal.
Yeah. Who just passed away this last year. I forget how old he was, something like in his 80s. And just an amazing musician who could make music with any object he picked up.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, you know, so many people, and not to jump down your throat about it, but I think a lot of people, you know, when they think of Hermeto, they think about, you know, how, yeah, he made music with pigs. And, you know, he was very, very adventurous and kind of zany. But I think one of the most profound things about Hermeto is his sense of melodicism, his sense of harmony, and just like as a pure musical theoretical composer, he was just brilliant.
You mentioned Proust as one of the inspirations for the first track, and that's not the only literary reference when it comes to the compositions on here. There's a three-part work, Sea Triptych, and Iris Murdoch is named in part three, and she's a novelist. Can you talk about what inspired that work?
I mean, each movement is kind of inspired by a different experience or feeling about the ocean, or in the case of the last movement, this Iris Murdoch book, The Sea, the Sea. There's something that happens in the book throughout where there's this main character. He's very difficult, prickly, kind of egomaniacal and just crazy and obsessed with this old childhood love. And just really, it's one of those books where the main character is so unlikable, but you can't stop reading because it's just so well written. And there is like shades of nuance to his unlikability. So his relationships with so many characters are very prickly, intense, and you feel this sense that the ocean is responding. It takes place like right on like seaside England, and you feel the sense that the ocean is responding to this drama that's unfolding between him and all these characters that he's like betrayed or backstabbed, rejected or whatever. So, you know, I kind of wanted there to feel like there was a bit of a combative nature to this piece on the album.
Tell me about The Return.
The Return was my way of paying tribute to David Lynch, but particularly the last real major work that he filmed, which was the last season of Twin Peaks, also called The Return. That show really, I think it's one of the most profound and important pieces of art of our generation. It really defies traditional narrative arc. It defies style and convention and flow and genre, and it just goes and goes and goes, and it doesn't matter where it's going, but you just follow it. I think what makes Lynch so brilliant isn't just, you know, the imagery and the ideas, but it's just everything he did was done with so much conviction in it, and you believed it. You believed it was real. You believed what he was showing you was real, and what he was showing you was happening. So yeah, it was. I think the piece, I just wanted to have a very unclear arc, but an undeniable forward momentum.
Are you going to be bringing the musicians on the recording with you to Minneapolis?
Yep.
And is there anything else you want to say ahead of your appearance at Berlin on September 15th?
I've been to Minneapolis a few times, 3 or 4 times. I played at the Dakota a couple times. I played at the Walker once. I love Minneapolis, and I just, it's really like genuinely one of my favorite cities in the country to come to. And I really find it to be a beautiful place, and I'm very excited to play my music there. And I really hope as many people as possible can join us.
Adam, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. And look forward to catching your band at Berlin on Tuesday, September 15th.
Cool. Thank you, Peter.
My guest today was trumpeter Adam O'Farrell. He's appearing with his group Elephant at Berlin on Tuesday, September 15th at 7 o'clock. You can find more information at berlinmpls.com. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.